Welcome to Torah Timacha HaTorah with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Sarah Malka Winter, and this week for Parshas Bamidbar, we read from Sefer Hosea, chapter 2, verses 1 to 22. Mazel tov on reaching Sefer Bamidbar. A couple of interesting notes. Although the Torah reading schedule varies from year to year, Parshas Bamidbar will always fall out on the Shabbos before Shavuos. Rav Yaakov ben Asher, 14th century pioneering halachic codifier, author of the Torah, explains with a little rhyme. Manu v'itzru, we count and then we celebrate Shavuos. We read the portion in Parshas Bamidbar about being counted, and then comes Atzeres, Shavuos. Another unique feature this week, although there are often multiple opinions about which Haftorah to read, this Shabbos is unified. Ashkenaz, Sfar, Temani, Chabad all read the same Haftorah from Hosea chapter 2. The opening pasuk of the Haftorah draws us straight into the themes of Bamidbar and Matan Torah. V'haya mispar b'nei Yisrael kechol hayam asher lo yimad v'lo yisafer. V'haya b'mkom asher ye'amer lahem lo amiyatem ye'amer lahem b'nei kel chai. The number of the people of Israel shall be like the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured or counted. And instead of being told, you are not my people, they shall be called children of the living Hashem. In Parshas Bamidbar, we read about the census of Bnei Yisrael. And in our Haftorah, we are promised a future when our numbers will defy counting, a sign of restoration and blessing. We will be too numerous to count. And more than that, the Haftorah speaks of a spiritual transformation from being cast off to once again being lovingly claimed by Hashem. Sefer Hosea is filled with rebuke. He lived during the decline of the Northern Kingdom and the beginning of the spiritual descent of Yehuda. In chapter 1, Hashem had told Hosea to give his children tragic names, Lo Ruchama, unpitied, Lo Ami, not my people, reflecting the deep rupture between Hashem and Yisrael. But our Haftorah, chapter 2, opens with a dramatic shift towards redemption. Verse 2, V'nikbitu b'nei Yehuda v'nei Yisrael yachtav, V'samu lahem rosh echad, V'alu min ha'aretz, ki gadol yom Yisrael. The people of Yehuda and the people of Yisrael shall assemble together and appoint one head over them, and they shall rise from the ground, for great shall be the day of Yisrael. And verse 3, Imru la'achechem ami, v'la'achosechem ruchama, O call your brothers my people, and your sisters lovingly accepted. We are given a vision of unity and return, of love and reconciliation. But this hope is immediately contrasted by a painful metaphor. Yisrael is likened to a wife chasing after other lovers, a reflection of how Bnei Yisrael and their leaders sought political alliances and foreign idols for protection. Verse 7, Ki amra elcha acharei ma'ahavai nosnei lachmi umeimai tamri ufishti shamni v'shikuyai. Because, she thought, I will go after my lovers who supply my bread and my water, my wool and my linen, my oil and my drink. But those lovers will abandon her. Verse 9, Viritva esma aveha velota sigosam uviksha sam velosimta veamra elcha veashuva el ishi harishon ki tovli asmeata. Pursue her lovers as she will, she shall not overtake them, and seek them as she may, she shall never find them. And so finally she will say, I will go and return to my first husband, for it was better for me then than it is now. The tragic irony is spelled out in verse 10. V'hi lo yada ki anochi nasati la hadagan v'hatirosh v'hayitzar v'kesef herbesi la v'zahav asula baal. And she did not consider this. It was I who bestowed on her the new grain and wine and oil, I who lavished silver on her and gold, which they used for the baal. The political reality behind this metaphor is sobering. The kingdoms of Yisrael and Yehuda often relied on foreign alliances with Assyria, Egypt, and Babylon, and in doing so, they absorbed their cultures and idols, and these very nations later turned against them. Not only did they not help them, they were the ones that caused their destruction and exile. And Hashem's cry is poignant. You never needed them. I was always the one taking care of you. And the punishment will mirror the betrayal. I will take back my grain, my wine. I will strip her naked, end all her rejoicing, lay waste her vines. This captures the pain of exile, deprivation, shame, and loss. But it is much deeper than that. Because what happens next is a breathtaking turn in verses 6 and 17. Lachain, hine anochi mefataha v'holachtiha hamidbar v'dibarti aliba. Assuredly, I will speak coaxingly to her and lead her through the wilderness, through the desert, and speak to her heart. V'nasati la es krameha misham ve'es emek achor lefetach tikva ve'ansa shama ki me ne'ureha uchiyom alosa me'eretz Mitzrayim. I will give her her vineyards from there and the valley of Achor as an opening of hope. There she shall respond as in the days of her youth when she came up from the land of Egypt. The midbar, the desert, reemerges, not as punishment, but as a place of renewal. Rashi and Malbim explain that this midbar is a metaphor for exile. And elsewhere, Rav Hirsch expands on this idea that the original midbar, the desert, wasn't just a route to Eretz Yisrael. It was a spiritual refinery. In the midbar, where natural resources were absent, we became entirely dependent on Hashem. We learnt that we are entirely dependent on Hashem. Our national identity was formed in a place where every need, food, shelter, water, came directly from Him. And it was there, in that vast emptiness, that we became truly His. And of course, it was in the midbar that we received our Torah, our eternal connection with Hashem. And so too it is in exile. When we forget our true source and seek security elsewhere, Hashem brings us back to a midbar, not to punish us, but to rekindle this relationship. Exile becomes a spiritual desert where we relearn how to hear Hashem speak to our hearts. And so, as we count the Omer, preparing for Shavuos just as our ancestors once did, we realize something profound. We're not only remembering the past, we are reliving it. We too are in the midbar. This desert is not just a place of wandering, it is a process of becoming. Hosea teaches us that galus, exile, is not merely a matter of geography, but of identity. It is the experience of remembering who we truly are. And the rejection and betrayal from other nations are also part of that midbar experience. When we embrace the mission of exile, to return, to reconnect, we transform suffering into sacred growth. The Haftorah ends with one of the most beautiful transformations in all of Tanakh. Ve'erastich li le'olam, I will betroth you to me forever. Not conditionally, not temporarily, not tentatively, eternally, and not as we were, but deeper than before. A bris, a covenant forged in tzedek, mishpat, chesed, rachamim, and emunah, justice, righteousness, compassion, mercy, and faith. The relationship is not just rebuilt, it is redefined. Verse 18, on that day you will no longer call me Baali, my master, but Ishi, my husband. Though Baali technically means husband too, it carries the connotation of control and dominance, even echoing the Canaanite god Baal. In contrast, Ishi speaks of intimacy, tenderness, love. It is a shift from distance to closeness, not a God who rules from above, but a God who dwells with us. This vision of relationship with Hashem emerges just as we enter Sefer Bamidbar, where the nation is counted tribe by tribe, name by name. Each person is known, each family belongs. And as we prepare for Shavuos, we aren't just receiving commandments, we are re-entering every single one of us a relationship. Like Hosea's prophecy, it hasn't always been smooth. There was betrayal, distance, exile. But God never stops reaching out, never stops planting hope. Uzratiha li ba'aretz, I will sow her for myself in the land. Even in exile, there is planting. There is preparation for return. This Haftorah teaches us that the path to redemption lies through recognition, return, and relationship. Bamidbar, the book of the desert, begins not just with counting, but with being counted for Hashem. And as we approach Shavuos, may we do so not just as recipients of Torah, but as beloved partners in a sacred bond and relationship. May we merit to finally leave our midbar transformed, united, and deeply reconnected to Hashem, ready once again to be called by Hashem, Ami Ruchama B'nei Kel Chai, my nation's deeply loved and accepted, the children of the living Hashem. Thank you for learning together.